This meeting is being recorded.
Hi everyone, Coach D. Caruso here, along with Coach Iowa Banker. We got the Neal group to cover next. This group is led by Montpelier, the Peepers, Coach Russack. Made it to the NTT last year, was the fourth seed, and unfortunately lost in the first round. But, you know, this has been a coach that's been one of the better teams in the country, I would say, the last decade or so, looking at his history. Since he took over in 21, I mean, they've been top 100 every single year. He's made the NTT nearly every single year. Came very close to winning the NTT back in 29, finished runner-up, and that was the only loss of the year. So this is a good team, good program. He loses Joshua Neal. That is the namesake of the group, the Neal group. He was their small forward, really solid two-way wing, played defense, could score. So it's a tough loss, but I was looking at this team and I'm looking at them right now. It's a deep, deep group. The entire team, nearly everyone had a per 30 game score of 10 plus. The freshman class he brings in is a little mixed. I have a hard time seeing how these guys are going to replace maybe some of the production that was lost. Hayden Massey, you know, the thing that stands out with him is he can score obviously, but man, he doesn't know how to take care of the ball. So you're probably going to want to put him at shooting guard, but then he's, you know, 6'1". You're a little undersized. Other two guys, again, I think similar story. Maybe not the best hands, not the best playmaking, but it seems like all these guys like to score. So, you know, this team is interestingly built. It seems like it's, at least in the starting lineup, you got one guy who's kind of like the lead playmaker. We got returning freshman Nicholas Caudra. And then also a really good blue guy here, Moses Marshall. And then everyone else is just kind of like your default scorers. At least on the wing, their center, Adrian Wilkes, is another guy that really stands out. He averaged 5 blocks a game last year. So interesting group. I like this team. It's, you know, I don't know if it's different than teams I normally see, but there's just a lot of depth, a lot of pieces, a lot of guys that play into their roles. So we'll see if Coach can match that again. I know sometimes when you have defined roles at each position, it can be hard to recruit to find guys like that. So it'll be interesting to see how this group of freshmen kind of fits in with this group. But I think he has enough depth to maybe prevent a huge backstep this year. So what do you think about the Peepers?
Yeah, Coach, I think when you look at this team and you gave a nice overview and outline, I think, you know, they do have a potential star, I believe, in their starting lineup. If you look at Willie Walker, that big 6'7" shooting guard, you know, he filled it up last year on a per 30 basis, nearly 25 points a game, fairly efficient at 57% true shooting. So that's where it has to start for Montpelier, at least on the offensive end. You know, again, you lose Joshua Neal, the small forward. You know, as you look at who can replace Neal in the lineup, it's kind of interesting, you know, all three of those freshmen, as you mentioned, all guys that like to shoot the ball and like the ball in their hands. They all aren't shy. There's no doubt about it. But again, as you mentioned, they don't take care of it real well. So not sure if any of those three necessarily, maybe Freeman Tyson. Again, he's a 57% true shooter in high school and not quite the turnover problem. But otherwise, I think if you look at their team, you know, on the bench, you know, Elijah Benitez might be a candidate to jump into the starting lineup on a per 30 basis last year, 15.5 points a game on 60% true shooting. If he's the choice, I wonder if Coach, if he'll slide him into the shooting guard and then maybe move Willie Walker down to the wing as a 6'7" small forward and roll with that lineup. What do you think?
I was actually thinking the same thing. I think Walker at 6'7", that gives him nice flexibility to moving down. I think the one issue, I think, and that's probably why he had Walker at shooting guard the last 2 years, is it looks like he doesn't take care of the ball well. And as everyone knows in DTL, you know, the small forward takes care of the ball every time you inbound it. And so I think a lot of coaches kind of hesitate, maybe, at least this is my view. I think you hesitate to put a guy who has turnover issues at that small forward position. Cause if you watch those, you know, gate or play by plays, you just see like either 5 second, 5 second turnover or inbounds it and it gets stolen after a bucket. I mean, that can be kind of frustrating. So I do wonder if he's a bit hesitant to put Walker there, but you know, sometimes you have to make decisions based on the lineup you have, and that might be the best thing to do. But overall, I like this team. There's just a lot of good players. Like looking at his bench from last year, Like you said, Benitez, I think he could start. Philip Penn had a really solid season as sort of an undersized small forward, really good, like glue guy. Same thing with Jake Stewart, another guy who plays really good defense, passing. So they have a really good mix of like guys who just love to score and then other guys who like just buy into the system, play defense, defer to those guys. And I think another thing too, I mentioned Adrian Wilkes, who averaged 5 blocks a game, which is nuts. The backup center is nearly the identical player. 7 feet, his per 30s are, it's kind of crazy how similar the stat lines are. 4 points a game, 10 rebounds, no assists, 4 blocks a game instead of 5. So you know, they got a really strong defense coming back. You look at their defensive statistics, they averaged 11 blocks a game last year, held teams to 41%. I don't think that's going to go down. You know, if anything, I think it stays that way or maybe goes up. So I think this team's going to be pretty solid, even though they lose Joshua Neal. Any other thoughts on the Montpelier Peepers here?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just probably figuring out that shooting guard, small forward, starting role, and how the freshman will be incorporated most likely on the bench and figuring out rotations. But I agree. I think this is still going to be a very solid team, maybe not quite as strong from a depth perspective. They might have to rely on that starting five a little more, but that starting five looks pretty good to me.
Yep. Next team in this group, we got Ocala, the Ocala Opossum, subpar stash. Coach has been around for a while. They made the NTT last year. He's been kind of consistent NTT, PTT guy. Looks like his team is trending in the right direction in terms of recruiting classes. He brought in a really good recruiting class last year, led by his point guard, Levi Purvis, Julian Kane at power forward, both, you know, not scorers per se, but just really solid players overall. And they lose a senior class that wasn't ranked really high, but he did lose Ethan Clark. I don't think I've ever seen Ethan spelled that way, by the way. I just want to point that out. Ethan. They lose him, and then they lose a couple other bench guys. It looks like he was really toying with his life last year just based on all these different positions. But bringing in a really solid freshman class, Dwight Childress, I would say, is the headliner. 6'6", power forward with those kind of defensive stats. I mean, this guy is going to be a problem. I think you want to put him at shooting guard, you want to put him at small forward. I think he's going to make life hell for opposing wings. So really good get there. Terrell Keller, a little bit undersized for maybe a pure glue guy, but again, good defense, good passing. He'll find a spot in the lineup. And then Clayton Nicholas, again, just looks like a really good defender. So this team already has good defense. They averaged 11 blocks a game last year. I totally glossed over Adrian Kelly. Again, a near identical player to the previous team, Adrian Wilkes. This guy doesn't shoot. He rebounds. He doesn't really pass. He just, his goal is to just block shots. And he did that last year, 5.3 per 30. So really good defense. And I think they're going to come back with even better defense, which is kind of scary. So the Ocala Opossum, it might not be pretty. They got Luke Sharp who can score, but yeah, there's not many other scoring options on this team. I think Childress will probably fill in the role that Ethan Clark had at small forward, but this team's going to win the defense.
Yeah, I agree. Good analysis, Coach. I think, you know, we just talked about Montpelier. In a lot of ways, we kind of are looking in the mirror with Ocala. They seem to me like they're built in a very similar fashion to the Peepers that we just talked about. I agree. I think Childress looks like a natural to slide into that small forward position, you know, maybe be that secondary scoring option to the Luke Sharp at the shooting guard. That's a nice 1-2 punch there. Again, you've got Purvis, the returning point guard, at, you know, pretty solid freshman year, 8 assists per 30 for him. So again, I think you've got the makings of a good backcourt, and then obviously the front court returns as you've laid out very nicely. So it seems to me like this is a very similar team to the one we described. They're going to win with defense first, and so those are always tough teams to match up with and figure out how to combat in this tournament. So looks like two very similar teams to me.
Yeah, and another thing that interests me about this team is they're not a single guy that's under 6'4". It's a big team, and especially in League 31, where it's kind of hard to get consistent size. This is gonna be a tough team to play against. I think there's some holes. Clearly, I think they lose their backup point guard. Brendan Colson. I don't know who's going to run the point off the bench. Maybe you move Phillips. Well, he's 6'8". That'd be tough. So it might have to be one of these freshmen who, and that's kind of a, it's kind of tough to see if any of these guys being a legitimate point guard, but they can rely on Levi Purvis to kind of eat up most of the minutes at that position. So he's going to have some, you know, questions to answer, but I think for the most part, this team is just going to be a nightmare to go against. So be interesting to see how they do in this group. I like them a lot. Let's move to the next team here. We got Jefferson City, Coach Bobby. Classic Jefferson City Seabaggers. This team is not the team that they once were. I remember when I started League 31, this team was the cream of the crop. They had, I think right when I joined, they were on 4 out of 5 seasons where they were the number one team. So this is definitely a program with pedigree, but they've kind of fallen on some dark times here. Haven't gotten quite as lucky during recruiting as they have in the past, maybe. They were a PTT team last year, again, being in the toughest conference. There's no, you know, room for error. If you have weaknesses, you're going to be exploited in that group. The seniors, they lose both their front court players. Neither of them were, you know, super, you know, they were solid. I like Barry as a really solid defender, but so that's a tough loss there. The guys he brings in, they're running a guy at 7'3". I mean, that's 7'3" is 7'3". I don't care what your attributes are. So he'll probably start. Max Henderson and Cameron Feller are the other two. I don't really see those guys making a huge impact. So I have some questions about this team. I know Coach Bobby is a really good coach. I'm just kind of confused as to maybe what the direction of the team is. You know, that looking at the team last year, they had four guys at 6'8" or above, and they all didn't really do a whole lot in terms of scoring. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the team, because this is definitely a unique team, I think.
I agree, Coach. This is kind of a tough team to get your arms around. Again, you know, as you well described, Coach Bobby, very, very well known in this league and in this game. And I think similar to another program we talked about previously, they play in Conference 15. So that's, you know, a dogfight every single night, no matter who it is that you're going up against. So the schedule certainly does you no favors in that league. You know, when you look at this team, as you mentioned, they lose their starting front court. So your biggest two players leave the program, and certainly Logan Washington, as you mentioned, there has to be a role for him, you would think, in the starting lineup. You know, you look at the bench from last year, that was very undersized in the post. And again, but they played big out on the shooting guard and on the wing. So you almost wonder, are they going to need to move someone, you know, into a reserve role in the post, just to try to spread that size out just a little bit? On a per 30 basis, you look at their top four scorers, they're all back, and they're all starting and backup point guard and shooting guard. So again, that's kind of a challenge when those are your best four scorers. Last year, only two of them could see the court at one time. And none of them are what you would call terribly efficient scores. The point guards, both with 53% true shooting, so decent but not spectacular. So, yeah, I agree. I think Coach is probably gonna have to shuffle his lineup and experiment and try a few different things to see what works. But I think, you know, the competition in this group and trying to figure out how to score on the likes of Montpelier and Ocala, I think for Coach Bobby, is probably going to be his biggest challenge. This was not a great offensive team last year, and I don't know that they necessarily improved in that regard.
Yeah, I agree. And with all this size too that he had in the starting lineup, they weren't particularly effective defensively either. Which, you know, you would think at least in this game with more size means better defense. Maybe that's not always the case. Yeah, really interesting team. I wouldn't count Bobby out. He's a really good coach, but it just seems like there's just too many questions on this team. You know, maybe he finds the magic formula and finds a lineup that works. But yeah, I would say they're definitely, I would say, a tier below the first two teams that we had talked about for sure. Final team in this group, we got Des Moines. I believe it's the Des Moines Flyers, Coach Oreo 11. It's a team that's been kind of middle of the pack for a while now, kind of trying to find their way in League 31. PTT appearance last year didn't really do a whole much. They won the RTT championship a couple seasons ago, so Maybe trying to trend in the right direction here, but just looking at this team, they lose the heart and soul of the team here in Daniel Piper. That is a tough loss. This guy, I've never really noticed. I think kind of under the radar nationally because he wasn't on a strong team, but my goodness, I'm kind of surprised he didn't make an all-league team last year. 24 points a game, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, good defense, efficient. I mean, everything that you want in a point guard, that was him. And he was no longer here. And his running mate, Juan Irwin, is no longer here as well. And that was their second leading scorer. So huge, huge shoes to fill for this Des Moines group. The freshman group comes in. Actually, similar recruiting ranking as that leaving senior class, but I don't think the effectiveness is going to be there. Jonathan Parker can pass. Clayton Bush can score and play defense. And Brooks will be a good defender, but I don't see anyone that can replace Piper's production.
Yeah, I agree, Coach. I think where's the offense going to come from is the first question I have. So obviously you lose your starting backcourt. That's tough. So you look elsewhere on the roster and you look at your bench to see who might be able to step in. Well, the third loss on your team was your backup shooting guard, who also on a per 30 basis was a double digit scorer. So three of your better scoring options are gone. So that basically leaves three front court players that on a per 30 basis scored about 10 points a game. And then you had a backup, the backup power forward at 12 points per 30. Maybe there's you figure out a way to get him a few more minutes. And then, as you mentioned, I think that freshman Clayton Bush is going to have to find a spot in the starting lineup just based on, again, that undersized high school power forward that scored 19 a game, 54% true shooting. So he at least shows the ability, I think, to switch positions in college, and they're probably going to need him to. He might be the guy that you need to put in at one of those guard positions and just turn up the shooting metrics and let him go. But I really worry about scoring with this team, and especially again in this group, as we've talked with Montpelier and Ocala and their defense. You just wonder how a squad like Des Moines is going to be able to score enough to beat those teams. I think this is probably really the wrong bracket and the wrong group for them to be in this year.
Yeah, unfortunately, I agree. And I think you're right about Clayton Bush. They're going to be putting a lot of pressure on him. So we'll see if he's ready. I do think, I would imagine, I don't know if you agree with this or not, that Parker probably gets the initial nod at point guard just because he seems like a really good playmaker. But then again, you only have the Bush that can score, assuming he translates well to the guard role. And Zell, undersized power forward last year, 10 a game. I don't know. It's going to be tough. I ran the calculations on this team. They lost 58% of their scoring last year. That's a lot for any team, and for a team then to not really replace it. Then with their freshman class, I mean, it's just going to be tough. So we'll see what these guys can do.
Yeah, I agree. And again, kind of an uphill challenge. And again, I think they're probably just not in the ideal group for the way that they might want to play. But what do you think of the Neal group overall? Seems like we focused in quite a bit on Montpelier and Ocala. Are those your two favorites, or do you have a favorite out of those two, Coach?
Yeah, I think it's clear that there's kind of two tiers in this group. No disrespect to Coach Bobby, I don't see Jefferson City competing unless he finds, like we said, that magic lineup that works out. But yeah, I think it's Ocala and Montpelier. And I think overall, this region is going to be an ugly region. So, like, look at the box score. I think there's going to be a lot of low shooting percentage games, a lot of blocks. It's going to be a tough region to come out of. And whoever comes out of it, Montpelier, Ocala, they'll be battle tested for sure. I think I lean towards Montpelier. Just, yeah, I don't know. They had the, like, best returning group. But I think Ocala just has just enough of a chance, especially with Luke Sharp at shooting guard, really good player, 23 points a game. Dwight Sudras coming in, I'm really high on him as a freshman. I think he's the player to watch in this group. So it's hard for me to make a decision, but I think Montpelier by the slightest of margins.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to is it going to be Luke Sharp or is it going to be Willie Walker that's going to carry his team? So somebody has to score and be that lead dog. I think whichever one of those two has the better tournament, I think his team probably wins. Maybe just to take a different approach, maybe I'll just slightly lean Ocala, but I think it's a coin flip between those two. And again, I think this is a group you could see, the winner being a 4-2, maybe even a 3-3 record, just kind of tightly bunched.
And based on their schedules, it looks like Montpelier has a slightly easier one if you're just going by ranking. Again, it looks like actually we play Ocala. The potato sacks, that'll be a fun game. These are clearly the two teams in this group that have the best chance. No disrespect to Jefferson City or Des Moines, but this is the cream of the crop right here. Thanks for listening, everyone. We got one more group to cover, so we will get that going soon.
This meeting is being recorded.
Hey everyone, Coach D. Crusoe back with Coach Iowa Banker. We're going to cover our last group of the night. This is the Ballard group. We're going to start things off with one of the top teams in the country, J.S. Cheese. I know he does some podcasts from time to time. He is the coach of the Reno Rollers. They are the, I would say, the favorite of the group, at least early on looking at these teams. The namesake of our group, Hunter Ballard, who there's not many bench players that are namesakes, but they didn't have any seniors from the team last year, and this was a really successful team. So you get your entire starting lineup coming back. All these guys are solid players. This reminds me of my teams a lot in this league, where kind of just you don't have a star, but everyone chips in. Everyone's got that 12 to like 17, 18 game score. Really good team. And they bring in a really solid freshman class, headlined by, you can maybe say co-headlined, Logan Charlton. Looks like a really good two-way player. I mean, 18 points a game, 11 rebounds. It's a 6'6 center. That's kind of unreal for that kind of rebounding. And then he can play defense, and his shooting splits are very good. So I would assume that Logan Charlton will get a chance to start. This guy looks like a stud. And then he brings in two legitimate bigs here in Tristan Gutierrez and Dawson Monahan. I mean, my goodness, that is a good class. This was ranked 27-36. That's underrated to me. I mean, this looks like a top 20 class in my opinion. I think sometimes these glue bigs, guys who don't score a lot, but play defense, rebound, pass, I think they get underrated a little bit. So this team, man, whew, this is a good team. They lose two NAs. They lose another senior, Hunter Ballard, good player, but just a bench player. Coach, what are your thoughts on the Reno Rollers?
Yeah, I agree. They come into the season ranked number two, and again, we cautioned in an earlier podcast not to necessarily trust preseason power rankings. I think I'd trust this one. This team, when you lose a group, your seniors that was ranked 38-53 by the Mags, and none of them started, and two of them were on the NA list last year, that should tell you how good the rest of the talent is on your team. So it looks to me like an embarrassment of riches for Reno. As you mentioned, you bring in Charlton. He's a guy you're going to have to figure out how to get into that starting lineup. And then again, those two freshman bigs, Gutierrez and Monahan, even if they start out on the bench, those are two outstanding depth pieces to have. So this team, if it's possible, got even more deeper or deeper than the team that they had last year. When you look at that team last year, all but their backup center, from a true shooting perspective, were above 50%. So they were highly efficient as an offense. They just checked pretty much about every box that you would want to look at. Very balanced scoring. You mentioned not necessarily a star, but again, if it's difficult for the opponent to hone in on who to stop, and a lot of times that can be just as good as having a star or two to focus on. So this team's going to be a handful, and I think they're one of the best teams in the country, no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't see any weaknesses on this team. I mean, the one thing you maybe could point out is they don't really have a traditional point guard, per se. Their point guard last year had a negative assist to turnover ratio, or not negative, but less than one. So it'd be interesting to see maybe if he moves that around a little bit, maybe moving Bromfield to point guard and then maybe trying to fit Charlton in there. But, man, I hope he has a lot of scrimmages to run, because he can do so many different things with these guys. And I think at the end of the day, it's not going to matter, because you know, in this league to have this kind of talent throughout your entire roster, I mean, even on an off night, they're going to have enough guys who produce. So, yeah, this is the clear favorite. I think one of the best teams in the country. Like you said, that preseason ranking, I think, is pretty accurate. Again, I'm shocked that freshman class isn't ranked higher. This is one of the better recruiting classes I've seen in a bit for this league. So I'm very curious to see what this team can do in the PNTT. I would assume they make it past, make it out of this group, and I think they can go pretty far. I think we covered just about all we need to do for the Reno Rollers. They're very good. We'll move on to Joplin next. The Joplin journeyman, Coach Isaac Won, coming off a PTT appearance after three straight NTT appearances. This is a relatively new coach. He took over in 26, clear rebuilding program, was ranked 232 from the previous interim. Turned it around pretty quickly, made an NTT appearance in his third year. And then kind of maybe was stuck in the middle a little bit with a couple of PTT, RTT appearances. But then now he's been a consistent top 100 program. Unfortunately, seems to be sliding back down a little bit. And sometimes it's just the nature of the game. You get a couple of really good recruiting classes, and then maybe you take a bit of a step back. He loses the starting center, was probably his best player in Jonathan Sanchez. 12 points a game, 10 rebounds, really good defense. A little undersized at 6'8" in this league, but you know, he held his own at that position. Two other seniors off the bench are gone: Dylan Bowers and Matthew Kansley. This is a team that's pretty interesting. There was not really a star player on the team, but I think similar to Reno in a sense, not maybe as extreme, but everyone kind of contributed. A lot of positive game scores per 30. Pretty efficient offensively, defensively they're solid. So this is just like a solid team. Nothing blowing you out of the water. Their freshman class, I like more than the Mags. I think Simon Lepore is a day one starter. 6 points a game, 10 boards, 3 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks at 6'11". That will get you in a starting lineup in any league. So I think he replaces Sanchez. Obviously not going to score as much, but he'll bring the defense. He'll bring the rebounding. Out of the two other guys, I'm curious to see how they – fit in with this lineup, Riccardi and Dortch. I like Dortch, 6'7". Doesn't play a whole lot of defense, but seems like he can be a positive impact on the offensive end. So I'd be curious to see where he fits in with this lineup. And then Riccardi, again, another guy that maybe not very good defensively, but looks like a pretty good passer. I think they'll find a spot for those guys. And I think this team last year finished 67. I think right around that is a pretty reasonable expectation. Kind of just, like a solid team, nothing jumping out at you. What do you think, Coach?
Yeah, I think good analysis. You know, when you look at the incoming freshmen, I think that those three probably just nicely replace the three graduating seniors, as you mentioned. Lepore looks like the natural to jump in at the starting center, give them a little bit better size than what they had last year with Sanchez, who, as you mentioned, a little undersized at the center position, even though he performed well. And then, you know, with Riccardi and Dortch, they look like they might be able to just slide in on the bench to replace Hansley and Bowers. And that might be all you have to do to the lineup, and just plug and play those three players in those spots. And again, I think a solid team. You know, you return four of your starters. Again, nobody statistically is gonna blow you out of the water, but again, maybe with another year of experience under the belt, if they all take a small step forward, and you don't really lose much necessarily with the incoming freshmen, or they hold their own at least. Again, it should be a team that ought to be able to perform at the level that they did last year. I'm with you. I like the incoming freshmen much better than the magazines seem to. So again, it's a team I think that's probably capable on any given night of giving a lot of teams and you know, most teams probably on their schedule a challenge. Don't know if they're necessarily going to be world beaters or elite, but I think just a good, solid team and a program, again, as you mentioned, that's been generally moved in the right direction.
And this is one of those teams where when you see them on your schedule and you look at the team, you're like, all right, oh, I can beat these. We can beat these guys. Like, it's not that crazy that blows, you know, that stands out of you. And then you lose by like five. They're like, mm-hmm. This is just a solid team who I think at any given night, you know, I think can beat those sort of like second tier below type of teams. I don't think they have the star power to compete with a team like Reno, But they'll make it tough on them, I think. But yeah, I think there's a definite ceiling on this team, but a very high floor too. So be interesting to see what Coach Isaac can do with the journeymen this year. Next team, we got Yuma. Yuma favorite deputy, one of the best names in the league. They've been not as successful as they were in the past. Again, another team that's been kind of a consistent PTT, NTT team. They, interesting, kind of, they finished 37th last year, but they were a PTT squad, which is interesting. Must have finished the season up pretty well. He loses the 60-81 senior class. His starting backcourt, Dominic Booker and Russell Talbert, are gone. They bring in, looks like, three guards and a lot of scoring. So this team is going to get a nice energy boost from these guys. Those are big numbers coming from these little guards here. Terrence Skinner, 25 points a game, 4 assists. That's elite. Dylan Manns, 27 points a game, 5 assists. That's elite. Cole Price at 6'3", 21, nearly 21 points a game, 4 boards, 3 assists. I mean, all these guys are efficient too. That's fun. It's fun to bring in a group like that. You know, sometimes you get in recruiting classes where you have to just get size or replace, you know, those role guys. And not as exciting as when you can pull in a class like this, three guys who you can envision being, you know, all conference players. I think coach is going to have a fun time trying to figure out, you know, who's going to start and where, because all three of these guys can play point guard. So they might be a little bit undersized in the backcourt if they're going to end up starting two of these guys. Yeah, really interesting group. What are your thoughts on the Yuma favorite deputy?
Yeah, coach, I think you pegged them really well. You know, when you look at the team, again, they're losing the not only a starting backcourt, but also the backup point guard. So you've got three guards that you need to replace. That's exactly what he went out and did. He brought in three guards, two of them high school point guards, one a high school shooting guard. So probably pretty easy to see the mindset there in his recruiting. He was just looking for guards and players that could score, and that's exactly what he found. You know, the magazines didn't like this group very much either. 91-103 group. I'm surprised that they're rated that low with their scoring ability, and they're all three efficient scorers as well. So it seems to me that he'll figure out which three where they fit with those three guards that have left. And again, kind of like we talked with Joplin, just pretty much plug and play from last year. And again, probably will be some fun players to watch. I know there are some coaches that aren't crazy about those smaller guards, but I've certainly seen those players be successful in this league and in others as well. So they look like a fun team to watch and someone that's a team that's probably capable of pulling up a pretty healthy upset here and there, again, with those multiple players that can score.
Yeah, it's funny because the team that we just talked about, I said they had a lower ceiling but a high floor. I think this team's opposite. I think this team has a high ceiling depending on how their freshmen come in and how they perform at the college level. I think the one thing the Mags may be looking at, defense maybe, sometimes you can't really tell defensive attributes based on your stat line. So it's possible these guys aren't very good defenders, and you combine that with, you know, not very much size, you know, then they're susceptible on the defensive end. So, you know, this could be a team that kind of shifts their mentality towards this kind of run and gun type of style. But there's definitely some weaknesses on the bench. I don't want to be too optimistic about this team. I know we like talking up teams, but there's definitely holes in the bench. I mean, they probably are one of the, no offense to Dominic McQueen, I know he's got a family and all that, but this guy was one of the worst players in the league last year. He didn't do anything when he was on the court. And unfortunately, he's going to get some playing time again, because I think this sophomore class seems to be this 220, they're juniors now, but they were not highly rated, and neither of the NA guys can fill in. It's a very interesting bench. I mean, huge size, but no one that's just really effective. Bone's got some interesting stats. Bone, a high shooting percentage, but not much else there. So kind of an oddly set up team, but I think he has to do it just based on the talent level of the guys that he has. And like we said, this backcourt that they're going to have is going to be fun to watch. So,
yep, agreed.
All right, last team in this group, we got Los Angeles, the Wolfpack. I remember talking about them last year. Oh, the Wolfpack. Tough when you look at your recruiting kind of list on your stats page and you don't see a single double-digit number there. That's never fun. Los Angeles, I think with the talent that they had last year, making it to the PTT was honestly probably a success. This is a team that just does not have a whole bunch. They lose a 124-96 class, and that was their best class, and they don't really replace it with much. So they lose their small forward and their power forward. I would say their power forward was their best player here in Hunter Brown, 17 points a game. That's a tough loss. He was a solid player. The guys they're bringing in, I'm not sure. Bailey, 6'11", good defender, but not much offensively. And then the other two guys, I'm always kind of not against, but I don't really recruit guards who don't score. And that's, tough with Cross and Smith. They're just not really threats at all. So I think this team's going to struggle in this group. Unfortunately, they have a couple of decent pieces here and there. They're going to have some good size if they want to start Sumano and Bailey together, which would be interesting. If you want to try and limit teams scoring down low, but I think this team's going to struggle. Unfortunately, there's just not enough talent.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes, as we've talked about before, the recruiting gods just may not smile on you for a few cycles, and I think that's what Coach is facing in LA. It's just he's just not brought in the kind of classes that I know he wants to bring in. Their shooting guard Peschen, had a decent year last year. 18 points per 30, 54% true shooting. A steal and a half a game, so he looks like the best returning player. His backup in that role, Tyler Thompson, on a per 30 basis, decent numbers, but as you said, just largely a group that just doesn't have the talent to compete in this group, especially with the likes of one of the best teams in the league in Reno and Joplin and Yuma, who have solid programs as well. So again, credit to Coach that he continues to come and beef up the schedule and play in the PNTT. And again, hopefully he can have a little better luck on the recruiting trail and in years to come, and can keep moving his program forward. But going to be a tough ask, I think, in the Ballard group for his squad to make noise this season.
Yeah. I mean, I always respect coaches that, know they don't have the best team, but they want to play the best. And I think it helps you learn. It helps you kind of see, what teams are successful, what teams aren't. I think it's going to be a great opportunity for these guys, but unfortunately, just not going to be enough to get out of this group. Overall, we only got a couple, about a minute left here of this recording, so we'll make it quick. Ballard Group, Reno, right? I think Reno is the clear favorite in this group. I don't see how they don't make it out. I like what Joplin and Yuma have, but I think they're all just a step below. So I think Reno is the clear favorites here. Player to watch for me on, I would say on Reno. They didn't really have any stars, but Crocker, big scorer. But I think Logan Charlton, I'm so excited to see how he does at the college level. That's my guy to watch. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. It's Reno's group to lose. I do think Joplin and Yuma can play for cheese claws and potentially move on, and I think that'll be the story of the group.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Thanks, everyone, for listening.